This is Ozarks at Large. Alone, the Beast is a show on the History Channel that follows three strangers who live off the land for 30 days. About a year ago, Cruz headed to Louisiana to film an episode that featured Rick Spicer, co-owner of Pack Rat Outdoor Center in Fayetteville. Pack Rat also hosts the annual Bruja Bushwhack, which is an adventure race where participants compete by using their wilderness skills. The release of the episode was postponed earlier this year, but in late September, the History Channel finally released six episodes, including the one featuring Spicer, who shared his unique experience with me earlier this week.
There were six episodes. Each episode was composed of three strangers that had never met before the show began, and all of them were vetted to some degree to prove that they had some type of outdoor and or survival experience. And then from there, you're inserted in a remote area with nothing but the clothes that you're wearing. You're not given any type of tools, no equipment, no way to start a fire, no cutting tool, nothing. You know, you have what you are wearing. And we had a full like set of layers. You know, it wasn't like we were in there with just a t-shirt. Like I had, you know, of course my pants, and then I had like a t-shirt, and then a middle kind of insulative layer, and then another heavier layer, and then a shell, you know. And then in addition to that, we weren't even allowed to like repurpose clothing as tools. So for instance, I would not have been allowed to like remove my shoelaces and use that cordage for another purpose, or something like that. So we had to, you know, rely entirely on your understanding of the environment and how you can repurpose things that you would harvest from your surroundings.
So it's three strangers and you have no tools and you live off the land for a month. Is that
correct?
Right?
That's correct.
Where were you and what was the experience like for you?
I was in a swamp in Louisiana. Yeah. Which I'll be honest with you is the last place on the planet I would have picked. I'm very familiar with forest environments all over the country. I spent a lot of time in, you know, mountains above tree line. I've spent a lot of time in deserts. I had never been in a swamp before this experience. And it was very challenging, to say the least. One, not having been there before. And two, just everything's wet, obviously. It creates a lot of problems. As part of the series, if I'm correct, the first four episodes take place in the Arctic, in various places. And then there was one other one, the last two episodes are both in swamp terrain. And so it was very eye-opening. I'm not sure how much of that was them sticking you in somewhere where they they thought you might be out of your comfort zone, and or that was just the luck of the draw, right? Like maybe a little of both. But I can say that I'm happy that I got the experience to do it, because it certainly challenged me in ways I would never have challenged myself, you know, but I'm not sure I would do it again. At least not in a swamp. I think I would be interested in doing something similar in a type of environment that I'm more familiar with, or that I would normally choose to go under my own will.
So the premise of the show is kind of an example of bushcraft, which I think you do at your event as well. How would you define that for someone who maybe hasn't done it before? And what is that community like? Are there lots of competitions surrounding this, or is this just a thing people do for fun? So it's like a hobby and they get together? Sure.
Yeah, it's sort of all of that in a way. I would define bushcraft as the knowledge of nature and how one would go into a natural environment and interact with that landscape. And, you know, hopefully do so in a respectful way. If you're going to harvest plants or other materials, you know, do so in a way that is actually beneficial to the environment by removing species that are crowding one another and allowing the ones that you leave to flourish and do better. But it's basically just an understanding of your natural surroundings and how to interact with those and use those to look after yourself, you know, when you're in a wild place. And it obviously varies drastically depending upon the type of environment that you're in. so nowadays you have kind of, it's all over the place. Some people practice this as a hobby or a form of recreation, just like someone would go hiking or climbing or something like that. Some people enjoy bushcrafting by taking a set of tools, going out into the woods. You know, again, you have to be a little careful and learn about where you're going. You can't go into a national forest and just start cutting things down, right, and removing them. You need to, you know, if it's your own land, that's one thing. But if you're going into a wilderness area, you need to check the rules about, you know, is it allowed to, you know, remove things. It's basically, I think for a lot of people, it's therapeutic because you're interacting with nature instead of like being an observer. You're more of a participant. And I like that idea of, you know, practicing these skills. But like anything in modern society, you know, we have a way of trying to commercialize things, I guess you could say. So now there are certainly TV shows, there are competitions and a variety of different things where people that are interested in these things can be challenged, you know, and if they're interested in pursuing that, I guess.
So how did you become involved in bushcraft and what do you enjoy about it?
I mean, I've been involved in it in some form or another my entire life. I grew up hunting and fishing with my father and started hiking and backpacking and even rock climbing at a young age. And as I've gotten older, it's been important to me to increase my own knowledge and understanding of the environment so that when I go into a place, I can not only, you know, be an observer, but I can sort of respectfully learn how to interact and be connected to the landscape. It feels very powerful. If you walk into a place, you know, maybe with nothing but a knife and, you know, you learn how to select the right materials and you can start a fire by rubbing sticks together, something like that. It's very fulfilling and rewarding, and it makes you appreciate where you are and your ability to be there on a much deeper level than if you are always relying on, you know, technical gear or equipment to do it, which for me is ironic because that's what I do for a living. I rely on being able to sell technical gear, you know, to support my family. But there's a saying, an old saying that says, the more you know, the less you need. And I appreciate that because it's important to have the right equipment going into an area. And certainly it can make your life a lot easier. But at the same time, equipment is not a substitute for skills and knowledge. And that's, I think, what I appreciate about practicing these things.
Any final thoughts about your experience?
It was very valuable to me on a few levels, but one of the most important ones was to know what it was truly like to be hungry. You know, I had gone for extended periods without eating before, or eating very little, but I lost about 23 pounds during the month that I was there. And I'm not a very big guy to start with. And so it was incredibly hard on me physically and the amount of recovery that it took after the fact took much longer than I expected. And so it's one thing to, you know, imagine what it's like to sleep on the ground every single night for a month and to, you know, not have a lot of food and having to be foraging and finding things. But it's another thing entirely to actually live that for a while. And it gave me a really deeper understanding of not only what it was, would have been like for, you know, First Peoples and Native Americans to have lived that way, but also just people in our society today that are hungry. When you're hungry, your brain isn't, you know, you're not thinking at a normal speed, at a normal level, and it's really difficult for you to make, honestly, what I would consider to be logical decisions sometimes. And so it really opened my eyes up to, maybe the next time you, you know, judge someone because of their situation, like ask yourself, like maybe when was the last time this person had anything to eat? Because until you've gone 2-3 weeks without eating much, you know, you have a difficult time, I think, understanding what that person might be going through.
That was Rick Spicer, co-owner of Pack Rat Outdoor Center in Fayetteville. I spoke with him earlier this week. You can find out more about the TV series Alone the Beast at history.com. Spicer is featured in season 1, episode 5, the title of which is Swamp of Suffering.